Father, we do thank you so much, Lord, for your love for us. You've told us that you have an everlasting love for us, an unfailing love for us, Lord. We thank you that you've displayed it. You've demonstrated it. You've demonstrated it by, while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. You spread your arms and you took my sin. All of it, even the future sins, all my sin and all the sin of the world. You are the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, and you spread your arms and it was all put on you, and you took my punishment. You took our punishment. We thank you. And then you conquered the grave and you're raised. You're raised from the grave. You are risen. We praise you. And thank you for now calling us to follow you, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us, Lord, through your word. And Lord, we ask that right now, Lord, that you would do that. We ask that you'd make our hearts ready and receptive and in tune to you and your voice. And Lord, get me out of the way. We don't need to hear anything human. We need to hear from you, Lord. So please speak through me and through your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You, our purpose, is what we want to look at. It's a cry to Him. You, our purpose. We mentioned it a little bit at the beginning of this service that we live and we move and we have our being in Him. That it's all about Him, not us. My life is not all about me and my decisions and my choices. My life is all about Him. It's all about Him. God tells us in Colossians, speaking of Jesus, who is God in the flesh, Jesus is the Word of God, the eternal Word. He's always been. He always will be. The Scripture says that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," and it's a capital W indicating deity. "In the beginning was the Word." It's the Word of God. God's communication, God's speaking. You're hearing the words of Derek right now when I talk. And if we sit down to lunch together and we talk, you hear my words, I hear your words. And by your word, I get to know you. By my word, you get to know me. This is God's word. And He said, "In the beginning was," past tense, "the Word." When the clock started ticking, when God created time, the Word was already here. "In the beginning was the Word," with a capital W. "And the Word was with God." You see their separation, Father and Son. "And the Word was God." Jesus is God. And a few verses later, we find out it's Jesus. In verse 14, it says, the Word of God, "became flesh and made His dwelling among us." The Word of God, the communication of God, God wanting you to know Him and reveal Himself to you, became flesh. He put on a human body and made His dwelling among us. And He lived among us for about 33 years. So if you wanted to see what God was like, or if you wanted to know what God thought about certain things, or how He acted, or what He would do, or you just look at Jesus. There's God. And now He's given us His final revelation, the written Word of God, which is living. He speaks through it. Continue. It's not a book. It's much more like a phone. If you want to hear from God, if you want to get to know God and listen to His voice, and you just get the Word of God and you read, and it's living. It's not a book. He'll speak to you what He wants to tell you at that time. And which is why we're going to it right now together. And it says in Colossians, about Jesus, God in the flesh, it says, "All things were made by Him and for Him. And all things hold together in Him." All things were made, the things that are seen, the things that are not seen, all things were made by Him, by Jesus, and for Him. Your life is not about you. You are made for Him. He takes great pleasure in you, His masterpiece, His creation. And so, He is our purpose. You, God, Lord, Lord Jesus Christ, you are my purpose. You are our purpose. You our purpose. It's all about Him, not about you. And so, the question is, realizing that, have you left your life behind and your desires and your agenda and your will and your plans and your dreams and your hopes? And the question is, have you left all that behind to follow Him, your purpose, your true purpose, to follow Him, the God who made you? Have you done what we talked about last week where Peter saw Jesus enable him and his companions to make a miraculous catch when there was no fish out there? They had already fished all night. And Jesus made them catch tons of fish, two boats, having to get all the fish in. They're starting to sink. And Peter looks back at Jesus and says, he realizes who it is. He realizes he's just seen God make that happen. And he looks back at Jesus and Peter says, Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And it says that Peter and his companions pulled their boats up on the shore. That's their whole life. That's all they knew. That's all. They were fishermen. They pulled their whole life, really, up on the shore. They pulled their boats up on the shore and left everything. They left their whole life and followed Him. Have you done that yet? Have you done that? We just saw that. We saw two people doing that, Alex and Gina. Have you done that? Once you realize that He is the purpose of your life and not you and your little world, and you leave it all and you follow Him, you discover it. Well, let's look more into this purpose. Somebody asked Jesus one time, oh, teacher, what's the greatest commandment? They were trying to follow about 600 and something commands, and they had made up a lot of those commands to guard your, guide your daily living. And so out of all those, somebody asked Jesus, well, teacher, what's the greatest commandment out of all the commands? And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this. And he quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, where it says, the greatest command, the greatest thing you can do now that you've left everything and you're following Him, the greatest thing you can do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And then Jesus said, and the second greatest is like it. He added another one. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the greatest thing you can do here on the earth. Leave everything, follow Him, and be loving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving your neighbor as yourself. And then, when He ascended to heaven, the last thing He told us to do, anybody who's following Him, that's a disciple, anybody who is a follower of Jesus, you've become His disciple. The last thing He said before He ascended, He said, go and make disciples, followers of me. Go and make disciples of all nations. It's the whole world. All people of all time. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. And so we know just from those that our purpose is to bring Him glory by loving Him with all we are, loving our neighbor as ourself. Our purpose is Him. It's all about Him. Love Him with all that you are. Love your neighbor as yourself. Make disciples. That's what we're here on the earth to do. That's the overall purpose. Let's look at it. Look at Psalm 65. Let's look at these first eight verses. We see our purpose, which is Him, right here. Psalm 65, verses 1 through 8. And if you need a Bible, there should be one in the chair next to you. And if you're new at this, the book of Psalms, you open the Bible in the middle and then turn back a little bit and you'll see Psalms spelled with a P. Look at Psalm 65, verses 1 through 8. The little title for this psalm, it was a song of praise. It was a song, it was a hymn. It says, for the director of music, a psalm of David, a song. And so this was a song meant to praise God, a hymn of praise. Let's look at these first eight verses and we'll see Him, our purpose. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To you our vows will be fulfilled. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. When we were overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions.
Blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness. O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas, who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. Those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. We see in these first eight verses that He is our purpose. He is our purpose. And we know from Jesus' life and the things that I've just shared from His Word that the greatest thing we could do is love Him. He's our purpose. The greatest thing we could do is love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, these first few verses, that's encompassed in that command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In these first few verses, you are expressing love. If you do these first few verses, you're expressing love to Him. Let's look at it. Our purpose is to love Him. Well, first of all, He is our purpose. Praise Him. Our purpose is to praise You. Speaking it to Him. Lord, our purpose is to praise You. Look at verse 1. Praise awaits You, O God, in Zion. To You our vows will be fulfilled. Praise awaits You. The image here is of praise awaiting Him. Is if you think about praise being a person, think about praise personified. Think about praise being a person. And at this time in the temple, the Old Testament temple, it says that the imagery here is this. Praise awaits You, O God, in Zion. So if you think about it, imagine in that temple and praise, the picture here is praise is a person, and praise is just kind of just quiet, just basically resting in that temple all the time. Praise is just resting, just waiting to come out. But then as soon as the people enter that temple and they start praising the Lord, praise is aroused and praise begins to do amazing things. Well, now today in the New Testament age, if you've become a believer, you are the temple, God says. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you. So you're the new temple. So imagine praise is always sitting there dormant in you, just waiting, just ready. Ready to come out and do amazing things. Praise is awaiting in you, resting, waiting for you to take hold of it for Him. Praise awaits you, O God, in Zion. To You our vows will be fulfilled. Well, think about that. Praise is ready to come out. It's resting in You. But you've got to take hold. You've got to start praising the Lord. You've got to start praising Him. And then what happens when you do, when you begin to praise Him? God tells us in His Word that He inhabits the praises of His people. So anytime, anywhere, when you're in your car and you're driving down the road and you're having a terrible day and you begin to praise the Lord, just because He commands us to and He tells us to, you awaken that praise. And He inhabits the praises of His people. And then He's right there. He lives in our praises. When we begin to praise, He's there. He's there. If you ever feel distant from God and you just feel like He's left you or something and He's far away, He inhabits the praises of His people. Just start praising Him. Just turn from your gloom and start praising Him. Because He's there. He inhabits the praises of His people. Jesus said one time, He was being praised as He came into Jerusalem and all the children were praising Him, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. And they were praising Jesus. He's God in the flesh. They were praising Him. And some of the religious people were getting on to Him. And do you hear what these children are saying about you? You know, these children are praising you. And Jesus mentioned that if they are quiet, then the rocks will cry out. He is to be praised. But you are made to praise Him. We need to praise Him often, all the time. Our purpose to praise You. Our purpose is also to pray to You. Look at verse 2. O you who hear prayer, to you all men will come. Our purpose is to pray to Him. You know, sometimes we just pray for the big things. Sometimes we just pray if there's a need. That's not God's plan. God wants that relationship with you. He wants to live in communion with you. What if the only time I ever talk to my wife is when I needed something? Wouldn't be too good. You've got this relationship with the Lord. And sometimes we just go to Him if we need something or if there's something big. But that's not His plan. He says, pray continually in 1 Thessalonians. His plan is just for you to walk praying, just talking to Him continually. He wants you to pray for the little things. Before we were getting ready for church, I heard Allison, I heard my wife say, I can't find my makeup bag anywhere. Well, the thought hit me. I said a prayer. Lord, please help her to find that makeup bag. Is that too little? No, that's not too little. I pray to get over in traffic. And you'd be amazed at how often it happens. If I'm just driving in traffic and I'm trying to get over in the left-hand lane and there's all these cars there, if I just try, almost 100% of the time, as soon as they see my blinker on, they'll speed up and they won't even let me in there. But I can't tell you how often, if I think to pray and I just say, God, would you please get me over there? Would you please let me in a spot? Can't tell you how often I just put on the blinker and somebody backs up. Wow. He wants us praying continually, praying over the little things, praying in a soccer game. My son plays soccer for Lamp, and they were down 3-0 just a few nights ago. And all of a sudden, this doesn't happen in soccer. All of a sudden, they got a goal. And then, I think it was within 2 minutes. I'll have to ask my son after. I think it was within 2 minutes, maybe 2 minutes and 15 seconds. They got 3 goals. It was boom, boom, boom. A little bit later, I was talking to my youngest son, Christian, and he said, Dad, I prayed. And right after I prayed, I prayed that we would start, coming back, that we'd win. And right after I prayed, Dad, we got 3 goals. Just like that. Wow. God wants you praying about everything. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for people or we have prayed, the young adults. I lead a young adult Bible study group. I can't tell you how often we've prayed for different people through the week and then they just come and then they're here. They show up. And our purpose to praise You, our purpose to pray to You, our purpose to confess to You. Look at verse 3. When we were overwhelmed by sins, You forgave our transgressions. Oh, that's so wonderful. If you haven't gotten a chance, read my article on the Friendly Fellowship this past week. Go to Luke chapter 18 and just read what Jesus talks about. The person that is repentant, the person that is ready to confess. That is beautiful in God's sight. Jesus told the story of two men that went to the temple to pray, and one was very religious and righteous, and he was doing everything right. And he just thanked the Lord that he was. He was thanking the Lord. God, I thank You that I'm not like this sinner next to me. I'm not like him. And I'm doing all these things right. I'm giving a tenth of everything. And I'm doing this. And then Jesus said, the other man, he wouldn't even look up to heaven. He just beat his breast. And he said, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus said, that man went home justified. God loves that. He loved that man. Not the other man. The other man didn't go home right with God. So confess. We confess to You. That's our purpose. To be confessing. I've encouraged all of us to make a sin list. Just like what started in China when the lady began to make that sin list. And how the miracles that God is doing there. And it often comes through brokenness, revival, and God doing amazing things. Just about every time I've ever heard about it, it's come from brokenness. It's come from confession and people getting right with God, repenting, confessing. And it's our purpose now that we have fallen, now that sin has entered the world, we are to confess We confess in verse 3, when we are overwhelmed by sins, you forgave our transgressions. Our purpose to enjoy you, not only to praise you and to pray to you and to confess to you, but to enjoy you. In verse 4, it says, blessed are those you choose and bring near to live in your courts, with an exclamation point. We are filled with the good things of your house, of your holy temple. He wants us to enjoy Him. Our purpose is to enjoy Him. John chapter 10, in verse 10, Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Life to the full. Jesus wants you to have the greatest possible life. And it's only the life that follows Him. It's with an obedience to His will. That's where you find life, true life. When Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. When we hold on to our life, that boat, we hold on to our family, our children, and our life, and our hopes, and our dreams, and our... When we hold on, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. When we let it all go, like we just saw two people in the baptism, when we let it all go and we follow Jesus, we actually find life. That's when we find His plan and we walk in His ways, and He gives us the abundant life that He desires for us, that He has promised us. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He wants us to enjoy Him and all His blessings. But it just comes from following Him. It just comes from obedience, being in His will. And it's an incredible thing when you find it. I remember when I was about 23 and I had so many things that were ahead of the Lord. My alcohol, my party life, my so many other things. My girlfriend. I had so many things ahead of the Lord. And He got me to this point. And I remember I heard this message. And it was Tony Evans. And he shared his testimony. And he said, God, I am tired of messing around. I just want to give You my life. And that really hit me. I knew God was asking me that. And I finally said, God, I am tired of messing around. I just want to give You my life. And I surrendered. And what I was doing, I was leaving everything and following Him. And I'll never forget just the joy and that continues on and just grows and grows. I guess it'll just keep growing for the rest of my life. But and it grows and grows. And I remember we were about to get married, and we got married, and we took a cruise, and one of our stops was in Jamaica. And I remember we got there in Jamaica, and a Rastafarian guy came up to us, and he was like, hey, y'all want to get some of this? And you probably know what it was. It was grass, but not the kind in your yard. And he was like, do you want some of this? I honestly said, I know this, it might sound corny to you, but I meant it from the heart. I said to him, I said, I've got a high you wouldn't believe. He was like, what? You know, he's like, what you got? I said, it's Jesus. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know. But I was telling the truth. I found the abundant life. Nothing could compare to it. He wants us to enjoy Him. Our purpose to love Him, to pray to Him, to confess to Him, to enjoy Him, and finally to proclaim Him. Now all those others have been loving Him, really. You know, our purpose, love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's all been about loving Him. Now, think about this next one. Proclaim Him. This is really about loving your neighbor. Proclaim Him to all those. This is about loving your neighbor as yourself and making disciples, what we're called to do. Look at it in verse 5 through 8. That's what this is all about. Let's take them one by one. Just look at verse 5. It says this, you answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness. O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. Wow. So proclaim Him. Proclaim His awesome deeds, His righteousness of God, our Savior. He's the one who's come to rescue us from our sins, to deliver us from the hell that we're headed to. If we die in our sins, we'll be eternally separated from Him in hell. He's come to rescue us and to give us life, eternal life and abundant life. And so God, our Savior, and He's the hope of the ends of the earth. I heard somebody tell me not too long ago, you know, they were talking about just recently, they were saying, I had no hope. I had no hope. But then they were saying, then they found Jesus. And they were like, then I had hope. He is the hope of all the nations. That's why we got to get his word out all over the world. That's why he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Every human being needs to know his hope, that he's the hope. He'll save them from their sins and what he did for them. And then verse 6 and 7, let's proclaim to others what he's done with nature and nations. Look at that in verse 6 and 7. Look what he's done with nature and with the nations. Who formed the mountains by your power, having armed yourself with strength. Who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, and the turmoil of the nations. He can just still a nation. He can just take a leader out and, you know, make some nations rise and makes nations fall. And we need to proclaim his power, proclaim what he's done in nature and in the nations. And you need to proclaim what he's done in you. That's why every Sunday evening and every Wednesday night, we kind of share together here. You know, what's God been doing in your life? What you've been seeing him do? What's he teaching you? And people share. And because when we share, when we proclaim to others what he's done in us, then it encourages them. And they grow in him. And finally, in verse 8, look at verse 8. It says, those living far away fear your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. Those far away, people all over the world, they all see his sunrises and his sunsets and how he paints the skies. And you know what? They bring up songs of joy. They just well up in you. And he speaks. He proclaims himself. He declares himself to all people just through his very creation. And God says in his word that nobody has an excuse not to believe just because of all that he's made. Just the way he's revealed himself even in his creation. Let's pray about this. Father, we just come to you. And Lord, thank you for letting us know it's all about you, not about us. You are our purpose. Lord, our purpose is to love you with all that we are. Lord, help us to praise you, to pray to you, to confess to you, and to enjoy you. And Lord, we know, Lord, our purpose is also to love our neighbor as ourselves and make disciples. So help us to proclaim you, Lord, in all that you're doing in our lives. We love you. We praise you. And Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we talked about it earlier. We're going to have a mission walk right now as Chris leads us in this song. But we talked about it earlier, just in the time of the baptisms, that if God's speaking that to your heart today, if you're hearing him, if you're hearing the Lord Jesus call you and say, follow me, and if you're ready to do that, knowing that you can't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. You don't know what will happen tomorrow. If you're ready to pull your boat up on the shore, just leave everything and follow him. When Chris leads us in this song, you just come. Just come. Express that. Step out of your seat and come and follow him. We'll rejoice with you. We will rejoice with you. Or if you need to come and pray about that or pray about something to do with that, you can come to the altar and you can pray. And also, now we're going to have a mission walk. So whatever you've prayed about for these North American missionaries, we've been praying all week, and whatever the Lord would have you give, you've probably already been asking him that. Or if not, ask him right now, Lord, what would you have me give? And whatever he would have you give, you can come to those North American missions, and you can bring that to the altar and set your gift in this basket for the Lord and for what he's doing all over North America. Well, you come as Chris leads us.